All right, welcome, folks, to hour number three of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I'll be filling in for Alex for this entire hour, and I've got some really extraordinary analysis information for you here about the economic ramifications of what has already been set into motion. So regardless of what happens from here forward, we, all of us in the Western world, we are going to suffer some rather dire economic consequences, even if there's peace tomorrow, which seems incredibly unlikely. I want to give credit to Dr. Chris Martinson also, who's another voice out there who is able to see what's about to happen with the world economy. And as I'm going to be showing you today a number of different infographics that I've created on my website, and we'll just be sharing them with you, that really help explain the implications of what's coming. The truth is that this has been disastrous for the world GDP, but we've been living in a kind of a buffer zone here temporarily. And as Americans, we are uniquely blessed with a really large energy supply that is helping us domestically, even though our own allies are going to suffer tremendously, including Taiwan and South Korea and Japan. And of course, there are major problems right now in Australia with one of their major refineries is burning up and their fertilizer plants are damaged and offline and you know, other problems. The UK is going to suffer tremendously. European countries are, of course, facing energy lockdowns at the same time that their economies and their industries are in a state of utter collapse because of their lack of access to affordable energy since the U.S. blew up the Nord Stream pipelines a few years ago. Also, on top of that, the petrodollar is in lots of trouble now, with Russia stating that all future energy sales to European countries will be carried out not in the dollar, but in the Chinese yuan. That's interesting because, of course, Iran said that for the ships that it allows to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, they have to pay a toll in Chinese yuan also. So the dollar is being abandoned left and right by all the BRICS nations and many more around the world. And as this is happening, there's an infographic right there. Let me bring that up. It's talking about the warehouses burning down in America because people are so broke because of the money printing. It's not even that the corporations that hire them aren't paying them a living wage. It's that the dollar is collapsing rapidly. And because the dollar is collapsing, the wealth of individuals is collapsing. And because that wealth is collapsing, you know, the purchasing power of the dollars they earn, they're not able to afford groceries. They're not able to afford insurance or to afford housing or rent or to purchase a vehicle or to raise a family. And so they are becoming increasingly desperate. Now, they are lashing out at their employers by burning up warehouses. And I think there have been, seven or eight warehouses set on fire in the last couple of weeks. That number is probably going to increase, but their anger is misplaced. It's not the employer, it's the Fed. And as I've said numerous times online, if you want to end the wars, you have to end the Fed. And if you want to bring back peace and abundance domestically to the American people, American families, American workers, you have to end the Fed, which means you have to end the currency printing, the counterfeiting operation that is the Fed money printing machine. But Trump is insisting that the Fed should lower interest rates, which would only increase money printing. And because that's the plan, they're going to massively increase money printing by the trillions to fund a new world war. We're going to talk about that coming up today. A new world war that will target China primarily, will target China. As this is happening, gold and silver will skyrocket in dollar denomination. But the American people will become impoverished as their own infrastructure and nation crumbles around them. Trump is requesting a $500 billion increase of funding to the Pentagon, wants to make it officially $1.5 trillion, while your local roads have potholes in them, and the bridges are falling down, and the schools don't function, and your society is crumbling. The airports look like third world country airports all across America. We're going to cover all that and much more, so stay tuned. We'll be right back in 1 minute. Here on the Alex Jones Show, I'm Mike Adams, and we'll continue right after this short break.
We have two new products at thealexjonesstore.com that are guaranteed to work and deliver healthy results. One is Ultimate Energy. It's very simple. High-quality fusion of organic caffeine that is time-released, then with a very strong dose of high-quality L-theanine that relaxes you and gives you clarity and focus. A lot of people take it for test. They also take caffeine. You take the two together, it gives you smooth, continual release energy for up to 10 hours. A fabulous product, Ultimate Energy. And then, when it's nighttime and it's time to chill, Ultimate Chill, a big dose of L-theanine and a big dose of ashwagandha root that gives you rest, relaxation, and better, deeper sleep. That's also great for your immune system and your whole body. Good, clean energy and good, clean sleep. These two products together are amazing, and they're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get the ultramethylene blue, get our incredible iodine, T3, bovine colostrum, and so much more at thealexjonesstore.com, funding the second American Revolution worldwide and taking the globalist on head on.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones with Mike Adams. When you wake up in the
morning and the light. All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show. Coming to you from my studios, also in or near Austin, Texas. And, of course, I'm the editor of naturalnews.com. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your support of independent media. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day, and by the way, congratulations to Joe Biggs on having his prosecution completely vacated by the DOJ, and also to Stuart Rhodes. And I have said many times that those individuals who were wrongfully prosecuted on J6, they deserve $10,000 a day for every day that they were wrongfully incarcerated. $10,000 a day, absolutely. And again, and it's more than just Stuart Rhodes and Joe Biggs, but those are two that you probably know. And I'm so happy for them to be able to get their veterans benefits back, to be able to own firearms again. You know, they were wrongfully prosecuted. But guess who else was wrongfully prosecuted in civil court who hasn't had his nefarious prosecution overturned? Alex Jones. Alex Jones was raked over the coals in the Sandy Hook trials, as you well know, as Alex has covered many times. And that, I think it was a $1.5 billion judgment against Alex that was, in my view, it was a complete scam. The trial was rigged. The judge didn't apply the rule of law. Evidence wasn't allowed to be presented. And Alex never even got a trial by jury. Never got a trial by jury. It was an automatic judgment against Alex by a rigged court system that we now know because of James O'Keefe and some of what he found out. This whole thing was run by the CIA, who put the jury in place and, you know, pushed on everybody to get the judgment they wanted to try to shut down InfoWars. Well, the fact is, as you are listening to this today, InfoWars is not shut down. And even if the courts order the liquidation of the InfoWars domain name or the InfoWars, you know, hardware for broadcasting, they can't take the InfoWars spirit. And if anybody needs to have their judgment reversed, it's Alex Jones. In fact, I think that the federal government owes Alex Jones $1.5 billion. But, you know, hey, that day may never come. And since it may never come, the best way to support Alex Jones right now is at thealexjonesstore.com. And, you know, they always have great specials. They're dedicated to your health and your nutrition. And I'm so glad that Alex understands the importance of nutrition because, you know, here I am as the health ranger and, you know, nutrition is what I live by. I've got my smoothie right here. You know, I'm out exercising. I'm using nutrition every day. And now they've got the Ultra Methylene Red as well as the Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not going to go through all the details here, but you should check those out. And that's the best way that you can support this platform because they're not going to reverse the judgment probably against Alex Jones. So shop at thealexjonesstore.com to help support freedom of speech. Now, let's get back to the economic nightmare that is coming for our world. Now, if you go to neoclassical economics, there's something here called the Cobb-Douglas production function. Okay. and pardon me, I got to put on my glasses to read my laptop here. It's so small. But the Cobb-Douglas production function pretends that all the main inputs into GDP are interchangeable. So they want to pretend that labor and energy and capital and technology are all interchangeable. So, and this is all old, basically Keynesian school of economics nonsense, okay? But they believe that if you don't have energy because energy is getting cut off right now, then you can just replace that with like capital. So it's like, oh, hey, the power grid's off. The lights are out. Well, good thing we have extra loans. You know, that doesn't work. Your factory doesn't run without power. Your trucks don't run without diesel. Come on. It doesn't work that way. So as a result of their bad theories, and by the way, let me say for the record that economics is the one area of academia, well, one among many, but one of the primary areas where you can be called a scientist and you can win a Nobel Prize when all your theories are complete fantasy nonsense. That's economics, okay? Economics should never be called a science. There's almost nothing scientific about it. It's not like physics and chemistry and engineering and biology. Economics is just people making stuff up all day and claiming that that represents reality. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. Now, and there are some good economists out there. I'm not slamming all of them, but the old school economics doesn't work here. And the reason this is important for you to understand, not that I'm trying to turn this into an economics lesson, is that the roughly 20% reduction in global energy supply now, because of the war on Iran and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, that, according to these old school economists using the Cobb-Douglas production function, they think that will only result a 1% to 2% reduction in global GDP. So they wouldn't even call that a recession. They would just say, oh, it's a little dip, but everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to recover. We're fine. The problem is they're wrong, because if you don't have energy, you can't do all the other things that make your economy function. Without energy, it doesn't matter how much labor you have. You know, without energy, you can't run the technology that is a multiplier for corporations and productivity and factories, etc. You need energy to power everything else in the economy. So the truth is that without energy, the impact is going to be much more than 1% to 2%. And how much more? Well, I'm going to tell you. But let's step back for a moment. If you go back to the 2008 subprime housing collapse, that impact on global GDP was about 1% to 2%. So that was called the Great Financial Crisis, right? The GFC. And, you know, we didn't go into a Mad Max scenario at that time, thank goodness. That was something that we could all survive. And we didn't run out of energy. We still had oil flowing in the subprime housing collapse. And by the way, if you haven't seen the movie, The Big Short, you should definitely check that out. But as that movie depicts, and as reality showed, we could recover from a 1% to 2% reduction in GDP. Now then, you fast forward to the COVID years, which we all lived through. The COVID year, starting in 2020, massive contraction of economic activity around the world. Everything was shut down because of all the, you know, the forced lockdowns, the shutdowns, the governments, the freaking concentration camps in Australia, you name it, right? It was insane. Oil went negative price at that time. I don't know if you remember that. Oil went to something like minus $45 a barrel, which meant they were giving it away if you could take physical delivery. That never happened before or since. But there was so much oil in the system. There was so much energy available. They were freaking giving it away. And all the storage was completely full because nobody could take on any more energy at that time. Well, that entire event, the COVID-19 event, the economic impacts on the world were about 3% reduction in GDP. Okay. So worse than the great financial crisis of 2008, not nearly as bad as what's coming, which I'm about to explain. So using modern economic modeling and understanding that understands the role of energy in enabling everything else, capital, labor, technology, etc. If you have a 20% reduction in energy, you will have at minimum a 10% reduction in GDP. And the real number is probably more like 12% or 14%, something like that. But I'm just going to say 10% to be conservative here, and it's an easy number to work with. So 20% loss of energy, which is where we are now, that's been in place for, what, 6 or 7 weeks now. And it looks like it's going to continue because Trump and Hegseth are bragging about how they've closed the Strait of Hormuz now, even though a week ago they were bragging about how they had opened it, so nobody can keep track. But it remains almost entirely closed. It used to be 120, 130 ships a day would sail through the strait. Now that number is single digits, right? And only typically with Iran's permission. So it's basically closed. So we are going to have at least a 10% reduction in GDP based on this once all of the existing oil buffer in the system runs out. And by the way, when I say oil, I'm using it generically. I also mean other hydrocarbons. I mean gas, oil, petroleum products, et cetera. Okay. Different kind of refined products, diesel, kerosene, gasoline, you name it. I'm just going to use the word oil in a generic sense. So what this means is that we are about to face, you and I, we are about to face triple COVID in terms of the economic collapse that's coming. Three times worse than COVID. Actually, more than three times, because COVID, let's say COVID was 3%. We're looking at 10, maybe 12%. So let's say 3 to 4 times worse than COVID. And most of you watching, you lived through COVID. So you remember that. You remember everything was shut down. Heck, they even shut down the churches for some reason. It was hard to shop for food, you know, and they made you wear masks. They made you get jabbed if you wanted to fly on an airplane, all this crazy nonsense. That was a test. That was a test of obedience to see how many people they could get to go along with the new rules that the government was putting onto you through a completely fake, hoaxed plandemic. It wasn't even real. Now, it was convincing. It was, believe me, it was convincing. I mean, it had me fooled for, you know, a couple of months also. But very quickly, it became obvious that the whole thing was fake and rigged, and they were using it as an obedience test. So those were the COVID lockdowns. That was the COVID GDP destruction. Now we're about to have, like I said, 3 to 4 times worse. What do you think that's going to look like? You are going to see, wait, let me add one more statistic to this. Every 1% reduction in global GDP thrusts about 40 to 50 million people worldwide into extreme poverty. Every 1% reduction, let's say 50 million people, extreme poverty. Not just in America, I mean globally. So if you're looking at a 10% global reduction in GDP, you're looking at 500 million people thrust into extreme poverty. That's 500 million people. And by extreme poverty, what do I mean? Can't eat, can't afford food, can't afford clothing, can't afford a home, rent, shelter. I mean homeless, living on the streets, dumpster diving for food, okay? That level of extreme poverty, that will strike America and other countries all around the world. So we're talking about thrusting 500 million people into that level of extreme poverty. What happens from there, especially as this closure continues to play out and gets extended in time, is that the desperation spreads. All the buffer of energy and oil and gas in the system and all the supply chain of spare parts, that all evaporates just within a couple of months. I mean, depending on the parts, but that mostly evaporates to the point where people can't get tires for their car. They can't get, you know, air filters for their tractor. They can't buy food. I mean, even the transportation companies can't get tires for their trucks, things like that. Okay. I can't get lubricants. You know, lubricants come from hydrocarbons, of course. When you lose all the lubricants that power the diesel fleets and the transportation fleets, guess what? Yeah, you have a standstill of transportation. So that scenario is also coming if the closure continues for a period of time of several more months. So when that happens, then all over the world, you get this incredible gap between rich and poor, this chasm of wealth, where you've got the top 0.1%, whatever it is, that own all the media, they own all the companies, they make all the decisions, they fund all the campaigns, you know, they have all the influence in Washington, and they control all the media. I mean, it's just right. It's just a handful of people who control like 99.9% of the wealth in this country. You've got those people, and then you've got the great masses who are impoverished and increasingly desperate and homeless and starving and dumpster diving. And then the middle class is gone. And what history shows us is that when this chasm becomes very, very large, which the left would call inequality, but they mean something different about that. Oh yeah, look at that. Are those scenes from Venezuela? They're dumpster diving for food. I don't know where that is, but that's going to be happening in America. You're going to see people chasing like garbage trucks, looking for lunch, things like that. So when the chasm becomes very wide, what you end up with is uprisings, social revolt, all of that. And then revolutions in some countries. Historically, this is what has happened. And especially this happens when the people in charge are perceived by the citizens as being arrogant and detached. And I can't think of a better example than where we are right now with, you know, Carolyn Leavitt at the White House telling us that over the last year, fuel prices have gone down, way down. And you and I are filling up gas at the gas station. Like, what are you talking about? You're completely living in a fantasy world. Or Trump telling us grocery prices have gone down. What are you talking about? Do you not shop for food? Well, no, he doesn't. Or just the horrible visual of having that DoorDash grandma show up at the White House delivering a bag of McDonald's and Trump handing her a tip. Like, why are grandmas having to work into their 70s, apparently, in this economy when this is supposed to be a golden age? People in that age range should be able to retire and live comfortably on their savings. The problem is their savings are being obliterated. So that brings me to another infographic here. So to the producers here, go back to that one you were just showing, the real arsonist infographic that I have on one of my articles on Natural News. It shows that the money printing is burning your wealth. And as the living wage becomes impossible for people to obtain, even though they are still working, then, you know, the fiat currency is funding debt and war funding and bailouts and corruption. But they're abandoning honest money. Honest money is gold and silver. That's why it's so important. But the problem is then the U.S. dollar, which is based on this pyramid of power, and it's a giant Ponzi scheme, then that begins to collapse as more and more countries move away from the dollar. That's where we are now, and you are going to see a lot more people lashing out, setting warehouses on fire, engaging in felony arson and other, you know, similar operations, okay? So that's going to be a disaster. Now, the first story that I have there, again, to the producers on Natural News, is that has an infographic called The Coming Collapse. And I just want to walk you through this one next. So the coming collapse is when you examine, go ahead and scroll down to the infographic on that, please. It's the energy, economics, and systemic fragility of the system. And this is what I was just talking about. You see that right there. It talks about capital, labor, energy, and then there's technology in there. This infographic isn't perfect. It's AI generated with a long prompt. So sometimes it has typos in it. But anyway, that's the neoclassical error. And the reality is that energy is the prerequisite that makes all of this possible. So if you scroll down to the second part of that, as I said, it's going to be more than three times worse than COVID. So you see the 2008 crisis, says here roughly 2% of GDP. It's actually considered 1%, 1.5%. COVID pandemic, about 3% of GDP. The coming energy shock will be at least 10% of GDP will be cut. And then the bottom panel there is modern system fragility. We live in a just-in-time interconnected and highly dependent network of supply chains and commodities and rare earths and minerals and so on. That is going to collapse. And what it means is that, and this panel on the lower right there, the reason I put that in there is because, see, let me back up. The only time in our history that it was worse than this was the Great Depression. I mean, in history of anybody who could be living today, that was the Great Depression. In the Great Depression, we had a minus 30% GDP contraction. That was devastating. But at that time, the American people were a whole different generation, and they had skills that most of us don't have today. At that time, you know, maybe it was your great-grandparents or grandparents or whatever generation it was. They knew how to do things, right? They knew how to fix their shoes and mend their clothes, and they knew how to grow food and can food. And they didn't depend as much on centralized systems. They could do things themselves. They could raise chickens, you know, they could raise cattle. They were more self-reliant than we are today. It's not even close, right? Today, we are more dependent on the system than at any time, any previous generation in America's history. So even though the people in the Great Depression, they made it through. They suffered, but they made it through because they knew how to do things. They knew how to live off the land. We don't know that today. Most of our population lives in cities. Most of the people in our country, not you watching this, because you know you're practical, you're well educated about how to do things in the real world, but most people don't know how to change a tire on a car. I'm serious. And some people wouldn't know what to do if you handed them a pencil sharpener. Like, what is that? Their whole world exists on their mobile phones, and that's all they know is what's digital. The only things that they can do with their hands are type in messages and likes and things like that, and that's it. They don't know how to build a fence. They don't know what is an H-brace on a fence, you know? They don't know how to keep cattle in. They don't know how to repair barbed wire, right? They don't know how to fix a tractor. They don't know how to do any of these things. And so when this economic collapse hits, and it's incoming right now, when this hits, or maybe I should call it a contraction, not a collapse, this is going to be more devastating to the American people than the Great Depression in terms of the desperation, because people don't grow their own food for the most part today. And very few people are preppers out there. You know, again, the exception is this audience. You're well prepared. You know, you've been getting prepared for a long time. But the mainstream Americans, they're not preppers. They're not gardeners. They don't know how to grow their own food. So they're entirely dependent on a system that is going to fail them. And when that happens, there's going to be desperation at a level that we have never seen in this country. By the midterms of this year, it's going to be bad, but it's going to get worse after the midterms. And the midterms, probably, if we stay on this current trajectory, the midterms, the GOP is going to get absolutely slaughtered. Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct on this point, in my view. The GOP is going to get slaughtered. It's very likely the Democrats will even take control of the Senate, not just the House. And then beginning in January of next year, Trump is going to be impeached every freaking week. I mean, they're going to vote to impeach him every week. Now, they don't have the votes in the Senate to convict him, probably, but if he continues to get crazier, then they might have the votes to actually convict him. And then that would give us President J.D. Vance. But also, by the way, the Democrats are going to be busy impeaching Hegseth and others, maybe Marco Rubio. I mean, Hegseth probably will be charged as a war criminal by the ICC at some point, you know, for the things that he has said and done and threatened and actually carried out. So not only, the reason I say this is because not only are we going to be facing domestic desperation in terms of economics and famine and, you know, food banks running out of food, we're going to be facing political upheaval in this country like we probably haven't seen since the 1960s. That's where this is all headed. And you have a preview of what's coming because you watch InfoWars, so you have a heads up more so than almost anybody else in society. Take advantage of that. And we're about to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I will cover some details about what you can do to insulate yourself from what is coming. That's going to be the most critical survival technique of all, is surviving the collapse of how society has functioned our entire lives. So stay with us. I'll be right back. Mike Adams here on the Alex Jones Show.
CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How's it put in the salt? IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshield.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at theallshield.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, theallshield.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at theallshield.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Mike Adams.
All right, welcome back, folks. Mike Adams here for the third hour of the Alex Jones Show, joining you from my studios outside of Austin, Texas. And, you know, we're going to continue on the economic impacts and how to insulate yourself from what's happening economically, because it is a disaster. As I covered in the last segment, it's going to be three times worse than COVID at the current basis of how much the duration of the closure has been for the Strait of Hormuz. As the Strait remains closed, that's going to get worse and worse and worse with each subsequent week. We're going to get into all of that and China, but I also wanted to mention, I'm a nutritionist, and you know, I own a food science lab, and we have recently started testing for dioxins, by the way. So after the East Palestine train accident, which released all the polyvinyl chloride substances on fire, and which drops dioxins all over the farmland, it's bad. After that happened, I committed publicly to purchasing dioxin testing equipment. So I bought a GC, which is a gas chromatography instrument with a triple quad mass spec. And it took us over 2 years to figure out the exact extraction method and everything. But we finally got it going. We've started releasing dioxin results, which is really interesting. But the reason I mentioned that is because I know a lot about nutrition. It's my main focus. And when I look at products from the Alex Jones store, like the methylene red, I'm looking at it right now, and I didn't mention this in the last segment, but I want to bring it up right now. You may not know that the vitamin B12 that's in that formula, which is methylcobalamin, this ingredient by itself, not only, of course, does it support methylation, which means it, to simplify it, it helps ease the energy burden on your cells as it's doing its job in terms of nutrition. But you may not know this, but that ingredient alone is crazy expensive. Now, I'm just guessing, but I think the last time I looked at the pricing of vitamin B12, it was something like $10,000 per kilogram. I mean, it's insanely expensive. And so the fact that you can get a bottle of this for, what is it, like $22 on thealexjonesstore.com, it's unbelievable. I don't know how they're able to get to these prices. They've also got TMG in there. They've got CoQ10 in there. They've got vitamin B6 and so on. Also another form of folate in the same formula. The ultra methylene red, and it's sweetened by stevia. So stevia, which is great. It's a natural leaf, you know, sweet leaf sweetener. So that is an amazing formula. If you, now I'm not making medical claims, but I just want to be clear. If you suffer from low energy, if you're not feeling the energy that you used to feel in your younger years, you should try this product and see if it makes a difference for you, because there are many causes of lack of energy, but one of them can be a lack of cellular energy support through the pre-methylated nutritional supplements like this that can help you. Now, you can go buy a bottle of vitamins at any store, you know, any Walmart, anywhere, that's got cheap B12, which is cyanocobalamin, or the cheap B vitamins, or the cheap minerals like calcium carbonate, which is ground up limestone. You know, I never recommend any of that stuff, but Alex Jones doesn't use the cheap low end versions of these products. And I know this as a nutritionist, as a food scientist. I look at Alex's labels and I'm like, yes, these are the high end ingredients that I would be using in my own formulations. So you can support this broadcast and this platform, but really, I'm always impressed with what the Alex Jones Store is doing with their product line. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Red. That's the methylated form of vitamin B12. So check it out. All right, getting back to my topics here, I want to bring your attention to, let's see, the Pentagon's desperate doomed plan to turn Ford and GM into weapons factories. That's the title of my the second story that I have there on Natural News. If you scroll down, there's another infographic there that I want to bring people's attention to. So it was reported yesterday by the Wall Street Journal that Trump or the White House is approaching U.S. automakers and saying, hey, let's see if we can convert your auto factories into weapons factories. So number one, this is a huge red flag that this war is going to be much larger and last much longer. So the plan is that you're going to try to take these car factories that are already behind China in terms of, you know, lack of automation, lack of innovation, lack of battery technology, et cetera. And you're going to try to then churn out weapons because we don't have enough, because we're running out of weapons. Gave a bunch of weapons to Ukraine. They burned them all up fighting Russia. That didn't work. Gave a bunch of weapons to Israel. They used them all bombing, you know, hospitals in Gaza. Gave a bunch of weapons to the Gulf state nations. They burned them up, especially the air interceptors, trying to stop Iran's incoming drones and missiles. And also that didn't work. And then we've spent weeks bombing Iran, just basically using up whatever munitions were left or close to it. So the panic in the Pentagon and the White House is that we don't have enough weapons remaining and we need to make more stuff. So that's what you're seeing in the middle zone here on this infographic is, oh, let's see if we can make more stuff, more weapons. But the problem with all of this is it's not 1945, folks. It's not the 1950s. The United States of America isn't the industrial base of the world any longer. We were post-World War II. We could make anything. I mean, that's how we won World War II, essentially. We kept making stuff and shipping it over to the Europeans, you know, so they could use it. Or our troops could use it, you know, fighting the Nazis. But we could make ships, all kinds of, you know, supply ships filled with supplies and ammunition and boots and artillery rounds and tanks and everything else. We don't do that anymore. That's long gone. China does that. China makes the robots. China makes the drones. China makes the automobiles. China has the largest GDP in the world, larger than the United States by far at this point. And it's been that way for a couple of years now. But China has the manufacturing automation, which allows China to churn out things like hypersonic missiles at $100,000 each. Whoa, that's a dirt cheap price. The U.S. couldn't build a hypersonic missile for under, you know, $10 million, probably. $100,000 per missile? Yeah, China can do that because they have incredible automation. China can churn out humanoid robots or dog robots, which can be, you know, they can mount rifles on the backs of the dog robots. You've probably seen some of those videos. They can churn those out by the millions if they want to. They can churn out drones, including kamikaze drones, combat drones, by the millions. We can't do that. Now, granted, I love the innovation that we do have with the small companies in America that are still making drones or making, you know, knives or swords or modern weapons. And we still have artisans in America. It's just not like it used to be. We don't have very many machinists. We don't have people who know how to make things. And when it comes to making ships for the Navy, did you know that China has 200 times more naval shipyard capacity than the United States? 200 times. That's why the U.S. Navy is contracting with South Korea to make some of our ships, because we don't have the ability to make them in America. So Trump going to Ford and saying, hey, Ford, why don't you make, I don't know, armored personnel carriers, let's say. I mean, that's my guess. I don't know what he said exactly, but, or maybe go to GM and say, can you make drones? Can you make artillery shells? Can you make whatever? Here's the problem. And, you know, I own and run a large manufacturing facility. I know about quality control. I mean, our lab is ISO accredited. Our facility is GMP certified, by the way. I know about this stuff. We in America, we don't have a culture of quality like Japan, for example. Toyota is a good example of that. There's something called the Toyota way. Japan is meticulous about quality and supply chains. Japan will take every part from every supplier that comes in to make a Toyota, and they will subject that part to laboratory testing. They'll use like ICP-MS, mass spec, with some acid to dissolve a metal part and then get the atomic breakdown of the elements to make sure it's the right amount of nickel, it's the right amount of chromium. You know, Toyota will test everything. And that's why Toyota has quality. Even if it's assembled in America, it's still subject to Toyota's supply chain quality control, which is extensive. And this has actually been much of the great success of Toyota over the years, is its quality. Well, in my view, Ford doesn't have that. You know, the Ford F-150 Lightning was a total joke. I think they even canceled making that electric truck because it completely sucked and it wouldn't tow anything. But there are other manufacturers in America that are just as bad. I mean, I've had these experiences myself. For example, let's take John Deere. It's a beloved American brand. Goes back, you know, what, generations. I mean, my grandfather would go buy John Deere tractors for his farm, and that's how I learned to use tractors, was riding on an old John Deere back in the 1970s. Well, when I went to buy a John Deere compact track loader, because it's a big machine, you can use it for all kinds of ranch products and shredding and you know, moving dirt and things like that, I had only 75 hours on that machine before the entire left driver, the sprocket that drives the tracks, the entire left side of that thing broke off. 75 hours. That's considered almost brand new for a compact track loader. Any of you in construction, you know what I'm talking about. The whole thing broke off. And of course, that was a warranty repair. I had to get John Deere to come out and fix it, which they did, to their credit. They fixed it. And they told me that the cost to fix it was like thousands of dollars. And I said, well, what was the problem? Why did the whole sprocket fall off? They said, well, it looks like nobody tightened the 24 bolts in the factory that hold this thing together. Like, what do you mean they didn't tighten the bolts in the factory? You mean I've been driving around with an untightened sprocket for 75 hours and it just went kerplunk today? And they're like, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Like, that is an American quality control problem right there. Toyota wouldn't do that. Toyota would tighten the freaking bolts. You know, they would have a checkbox. Who tightened the bolts? What time were the bolts tightened? How many foot-pounds of tightness were on the bolts, you know, and there would be a signature and there would be a checkbox and there would be, you know, probably a video camera like, I saw you tighten the bolts, right? That's Toyota. And increasingly, China is moving in that direction in terms of their own quality as well. In America, at least in my experience, and look, I love my country, but our quality ethic is just not there anymore. In America, it's like, did you tighten the bolts? Yeah, sure I did. And while there's smoke and crack in the back alley, whether they're working at Boeing or John Deere or Ford or wherever. Yeah, smoke and crack and I tighten the bolts. Yeah, in your head, you tighten the bolts and then it gets shipped and then the customer gets it and it just falls apart, which also released a bunch of hydraulic fluid all over my forest floor. that's another story. This is the problem in America. So not only do we already have military weapons that frankly, largely do not work. Do not work. The F-35 is famous for this. It's a piece of junk, right? Barely flies. The toilets don't work on the USS Gerald R. Ford. You would think that you could build a sewage system because, you know, sewage runs downhill. And you would think you could at least have a sewage system that works. But no. After $15 billion on a floating biosludge hauler now, you can't even get the toilets to work. That's insane. And also, they couldn't get the toilet to work on the Artemis spaceship that reportedly flew around the moon recently. And so the astronauts had to go in their own astronaut diapers. Can you imagine 10 days in an enclosed capsule with like three or four other astronauts all crapping themselves for 10 days and you can't open the windows? Woo, boy, they are heroes for enduring that, let me tell you. Couldn't wait to get back to Earth, need some fresh air. But we can't make toilets work in this country. It's unbelievable. No matter what the cost, no matter how many billions, they can't make toilets work. Are you telling me that we're going to make weapons now that are going to compete with Russian weapons, the advanced Russian hypersonic missiles, the Kinzhal missiles, the Oreshnik missile system? That is, it's like a generation ahead of anything the U.S. builds. Or what about Russia's, you know, electronic warfare systems? Or their air defense systems. They're a generation more advanced than anything in the US. And in China, it's the same story. Their weapon systems are becoming increasingly capable, far more advanced, swarm technology of drones, while we're still bragging about, oh, we made a drone that can drop a grenade. That might have been news a decade ago. That's not news in 2025 or 2026. I mean, give me a break. So my point is, you can go to Ford and you can say, oh, let's make some weapons. You're going to have to retool the whole factory. You're going to have to somehow find skilled workers, which practically do not exist anymore because we don't have machinists. We don't have very many skilled welders, anything like that. We have a few, but not many. It's a lost skill set for America. So then Ford, in my opinion, will be churning out weapons that don't work, which is pretty much where we are right now. So instead of having no weapons that don't work, we'll have more weapons that also don't work. And that's supposed to be the plan of how to beat China, which brings me to the most important point here. This is all about going to war with China. And the shutting off of oil from Venezuela to China was a key part of this. And now the shutting off of the Strait of Hormuz is to try to interdict oil going to China. Well, China gets oil from a lot of countries, by the way, not just out of the Persian Gulf. And also, China is allies with Russia. Russia can provide China with gas and oil. In fact, they have a pipeline that they're building from the Yamal gas fields in northwestern Russia. That pipeline is going to go through Mongolia right into the northern industrial cities of China. And that's going to carry, I think, 50 billion cubic meters of gas to China every year instead of Europe. So Europe's industry is collapsing. China's industry is going to have cheap, affordable, high volume energy to be able to power their factories and power the creation of polymers and chemicals and all of the byproducts of hydrocarbons, which includes everything from resins and adhesives and paints and coatings, everything you can imagine. That's all going to be coming out of China. Plus they have the rare earths. So you're not going to be able to strangle China by cutting off their oil supply. That's a fantasy. You're not going to be able to strangle China. All you're going to do is force China to have new supply chains or to develop more things themselves. For example, We thought in America that we could halt China's advancement in AI technology by banning the export of microchips to China and banning the export of UV lithography equipment out of European countries to China. You know, that's the equipment that you use to make microchips. And we thought, oh, that's great. We're gonna just block China. They'll never be able to make microchips. Yeah, well, the problem with that is China's got a zillion engineers and math experts. And, you know, you saw them in your college class. If you went to college, these are the people that were beating you in all the math classes, right? And they went back to China, and then they built the advanced AI systems like DeepSeek. And they built advanced physics and materials engineering. And now they've built UV lithography equipment. Over the next few years, they're going to be rolling that out. China's going to make its own microchips. Huawei has invented amazing microchips that the West didn't think were even possible. So this whole idea of saying, oh, we're going to strangle China and that's how we're going to remain dominant and keep the petrodollar all powerful for the West, it's insanity. It's delusional. It's not going to happen. What you should do is trade with China. You should trade with Russia. You should trade with Iran. If you want to have peace and abundance and a real golden age for America, you should trade with all of these countries around the world instead of bombing them and threatening them and sanctioning them and committing piracy on the high seas by raiding their tanker ships. You know, it's always hilarious to me to hear Marco Rubio or Pete Hegseth talk about, oh, well, that's what they're doing is illegal. But when we do it, it's totally legit. You know, like when we commit piracy on the high seas or bomb a bunch of boats, that's totally legit. I mean, even J.D. Vance the other day admitted that what Iran has done in blocking the Strait of Hormuz is economic terrorism. And then he said, well, two can play at that game. So we can be economic terrorists too. I mean, they're just openly admitting what they're doing. This is not going to work, folks. It's going to thrust America into poverty and currency collapse. And that's my concern here. So don't misread anything I'm saying here today. I love my country. I love America, and I want it to succeed. And when I'm down on American quality and the insanity of what the Trump administration is doing right now, it's not because I hate my country. It's because I love my country. I want my country to do well. I want the American people to live in abundance and wealth and to have technology and innovation. And the only way to do that at this point is to trade with the world, not to coerce and threaten and bomb the world. I mean, that's my thesis here for today. And we're on the wrong path that's going to end up with the U.S. being completely impoverished, with the currency collapsing, and the American people dumpster diving for food and living in a third world nation. In fact, if you want to see a preview of what's to come for America, just go to any airport in America. It looks like a collapsed third world airport right now, almost any airport. I mean, it's crazy. When I was living and traveling in South America, I saw a lot of rundown, like dumpster airports there. Now that's America. You know, the potholes don't get repaired. The bridges can't get fixed. I mean, here we are. What was it? Was it Baltimore when that bridge got torn down or run into by a barge? Where are we? Like a couple of years now, that thing isn't even rebuilt. Where Iran, you know, we bombed that bridge in Iran. That bridge is almost functioning again. Did you know that? They fixed that bridge in days. We can't fix a bridge in years. What's wrong? What happened? What happened to American ingenuity and innovation and the can-do pioneer attitude that made us the greatest country in the world at one time? But now we are a failing empire. And the people running this empire, in my view, are on the wrong path. And we need to strongly encourage them to make a U-turn. You should make peace with Iran. You should divorce AIPAC and Israel that's driving us in the wrong direction on every single policy. You should make peace with Russia and China and Brazil. Make peace with the world. Then reinvigorate our own education system and start churning out the level of engineers and architects and brilliant minds that America has proven itself to be capable of. That's the way that we make America great again. Not by bombing everybody else into oblivion and punishing and sanctioning everybody else, but rather by turning our expenditures and investments domestic so that we invest in the American people. We invest in our own infrastructure. We should have railroads that aren't a total joke of the world. We should have high-speed rail in this country. We don't have any high-speed rail. We have old clickety-clack, practically steam locomotives running around. I mean, it's a joke. Honestly, it's a joke. It's a joke to the whole world, what has happened to America. We can still turn it around, but it's going to take some real effort in order to do so. And I don't see any political willingness to be able to do that. They're showing a graphic. The S&P 500 rallies to all-time high. Yeah, fake stock market valuations don't create abundance. And manipulation of gold and silver markets, manipulation of oil markets, that doesn't create abundance. So just because you log into a web page and you see numbers on your screen and say, I'm rich because I own this stock, I own this portfolio, and the numbers are higher, that doesn't mean anything when the great taking comes. They just take it from you just like that. You don't own it. You don't even have your name on the shares of those companies. They'll just declare force majeure and take everything. The great taking. There'll be bank bail-ins. And ultimately, they're going to try to switch you over to a CBDC bailout where you give up all your autonomy, your privacy. You know, you give up all your power over your own money by participating in a CBDC system. That's what's coming. So how do you resolve all of this? Decentralize your life. Own gold and silver. Own some private crypto. Not Bitcoin, but privacy-oriented crypto. Grow as much of your own food as you can. Pay off your debts if you can. Don't take on a bunch of new debts. Don't become dependent on the system. Own the title to your house and your land. Have stored diesel because it's becoming extremely valuable. Learn skills. Know how to do things that matter to make yourself more self-reliant, more independent, and resilient against systemic breakdowns that are coming. That's the answer. And that's what I teach every single day. And let me mention this. We've got 50,000 books available that you can download for free at books.brightlearn.ai. You can download all the books for free. We've got 250 audiobooks that are also free now. Just MP3 files, no DRM, nothing. No copyright protection. Just download and learn. Learn the skills you need. Learn about, you know, how to build things, how to gather sunlight and have your own off-grid energy supply. Learn and grow, and you can make it through all of this. That's my positive message here at the end of today's show. You can make it through, but you have to take action now. Tough times ahead for all Americans. Thanks for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in for Alex Jones here. Thank you for watching. God bless you all. Take care.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where they put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexjonesstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.